extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook interview room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com, live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller gets yet another day off. Man, I got to get this guy's schedule. He's bringing, I think he's bringing the grandmas back from the grandchild.
Yeah.
His, you know, first career grandbaby in the Miller household. Yeah. So, getting them ushered back as they have to return to real life, I believe. You know, congratulations again. Been a great win for them. We've still got Dan Courtright, our studio engineer in the penalty box, and Dylan Sherwood, the voice of the Spartans, with us here. There's definitely a lot to talk about here today. On, if we review our big stories of the week, how are you?
I'm good. I hope I'm ready for today.
Yeah, so, same here. Well,
White Auditorium will be a busy place today for both of us.
Yes, it will be. And Emporia High is going to be in action today in boys and girls basketball, the last day of the Paul Terry Classic. And Dylan, you'll have this covered, but it will not be on this station like it normally would be. It will be on Mix 104.9. Border War is coming back, and yes, it's the Border War. It's not the Border Showdown because, as head coach Don Fambro famously said, it's a GD war, and they started it. So that's
okay.
So that's what it is.
Now you're getting me juiced up.
And don't you miss when this used to be home and home and Big 12 implications?
Yep.
It's just – and Bill Self said this when it happened, when Missouri left for the SEC. He said it's not going to be the same, and it isn't. But I still hate Missouri. I still enjoy – I still derive great pleasure out of seeing Missouri fans suffer. I still love seeing the team lose.
I wish Wichita State would have went into Mizzou and beat them.
Of course.
Because then they would come to Allen Fieldhouse angry, and then KU could do
really
what
just
they
do. Drive in that knife right into the –
right.
Right into the wound. Yeah, that'd be great. So we'll have them on KVOE this afternoon. Kansas State we will have on normal place, normal time, coming up on Country 101.7. But then it starts with you today over at White Auditorium for the final day of the Paul Terry Classic. Mm-hmm. And I know for one of the Spartan teams, they'll be looking for redemption today. Mm-hmm. The other one will be playing for a trophy, I believe.
Yes. The girls, man. Wow, you know,
Hayden's a good team, though.
Hayden is a good team, and you know, there's redemption coming up. You know, the start 2024 when the two teams meet in Topeka on January 2nd.
Sure.
So, and the Centennial League opener, which that makes it a little bit more interesting. But yeah, I mean, there was an inbounds pass that Hayden had the ball, and Emil Bennett caught it. And then laid it up, got it to within one. I thought Emporia High would carry the momentum. You know, they were down seven. And, you know, Hayden just made some big free throws down the stretch. And you got to give them props.
Sure. Yeah, you do. I mean, I went out and I watched the entire girls' game on Thursday.
Ugh.
They were dominant against Wichita Trinity. Didn't held them without a field goal. So, you know, and like Coach Dorsey said after the game, it's like, you know what, maybe this is a good thing. Yeah. You know, because they were hurt after the game, and when mm-hmm. you're a team that comes in with expectations,
yep.
you know, you wouldn't want players that didn't feel bad.
Right.
Those are not players you'd probably want on your team. So the fact that they felt like that's good.
And
it's a good sign.
And it's good for the senior class of 12 seniors that
sure.
are on this roster. It's good for them to drop a game. It's just be glad it's not at the end of the season where it matters the most.
So after we have that, with the boys, obviously, trying to go 3-0 at the Terry Classic. Yeah. Then you'll join me for Emporia State Basketball, another late night at White. We don't have a lot of late night games, but we will. We'll have the matinee tonight for Emporia State and Northeastern State. That's scheduled for 6. Now, if it's 6 o'clock and I'm not on the air, the high school games have probably gone long. So just relax and stay tuned. You know, barring some sort of an emergency, we'll have the games for you on Mix 104.9 tonight with the RV Doc pregame show scheduled for 5:30, but coming your way at 6 o'clock.
So, I'm hoping I'm cleared out of there and plenty of time for you to set up.
I hope so. Yeah, because I'm going to want my seat.
If you're still it'll in my be warm seat, for you.
I appreciate it.
It'll be warm for you.
I appreciate it. So that's the plan there. Obviously, the other big story is, you know, head coach Seiler not returning to Emporia State soccer. And the unfortunate situation, and obviously don't know all the details. I appreciate Coach Seiler. He helped me coach the team. But, you know, the athletic department moving in a different direction. And it'll be interesting to see how they move on from this. Obviously, 3 straight NCAA tournaments for the program. And a program that has had, you know, met or exceeded expectations the last few years. And where do they move? They said in their release that they want to be a top 25 athletics department. So who's that person to lead them there in soccer? I don't know. It's going to be a tough act to follow for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Coach Seiler did a really good job with that program and basically, you know, getting it out of nothing and turning it into a winner and a contender in the MIAA, and as we mentioned, what was that, 4 straight NCAA tournaments?
Three straight, four overall.
4 overall.
But all the 4 that the program had.
So. Yeah.
So it'll be a new soccer coach coming up, the other huge story this week, obviously. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be joined by Emporia High swimming and boys diving coach Jamie Dawson. She'll be joining us next here for our Emporia High segment. And then we'll be joined by Michael Massey, the Linden football coach. We may ask him one Linden since he's the boys basketball coach, we got to ask him a question.
Yeah.
But he's here because his Linden team went 13-0 and won the state title. And my goal on this show is every area team that wins a state title, you'll be invited on this show.
Yeah.
Now, you have to say yes. But if you win a state title, you're coming on the show. That's the way I see it. So
yeah.
Let's get into Coach Dawson here next segment. But first, it's time to name our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week for Emporia High and our area athletes. So, Dylan, our Emporia Main Street Emporia High Athlete of the Week.
All right. I didn't type a list, so I'm going impromptu today.
Yeah, just give us the winner.
Okay. I'm going to the girls' wrestling team.
Okay, awesome.
I'm going with Alexa Castillo. She is the 235-pounder for Coach Sean Russell. She will be wrestling for a tournament championship today in Great Bend in the Christmas Clash. Went 3-0 yesterday. She's undefeated on the season, ranked in Class 6 and 5A, so Alexa Castillo is our Emporia High, Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week.
And I know last night as we were getting set to go to dinner after you got done with the game, you said you got a pretty good area player
yes,
for this week.
Yes, we're going to Waverly for this one. This is from Ty Piper of the girls basketball team. Josie Romig, a junior for Waverly, triple-double. 18 points, 14 rebounds. Everyone's going to think the third is assists. It's not. 10 steals.
10 steals. Okay.
10 steals.
Wow. So that's our area athlete of the week. Of course, they're both brought to you by Emporia Main Street. And if you've got an athlete that had a great performance during the week, so Coach Dawson in the studio, who's coming up next, get a hold of Dylan so we can get them honored and recognized. SherwoodD@KVOE.com, or you can call us here at the station, 620-342-1400. That's 620-342-1400. Let's take our first time out. Coach Dawson talking Spartan swimming and diving for the boys next. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE Live and Local.
The holiday red tag savings event continues at Longmine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the savings are great. Come in, get over $9,000 in total red tag savings on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck, or a new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS front wheel drive with over $1,800 in red tag savings, or save thousands in interest with 1.9% APR with approved credit on select models. Come in and see the all-new electric Chevy EV models. We've got three in stock, and take a test drive for yourself. Don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-ins, too. So for holiday red tag savings on new Chevy models, come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia today. Or you can visit us 24-7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The 2023 Division I college football playoff is set, and both semifinal matchups will be held on New Year's Day. All four teams selected won their conference championship games last weekend. Top-ranked Michigan will face number 4 Alabama in this year's Rose Bowl. Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines are in the playoff for the third straight season, while Nick Saban's Tide are making their 8th appearance, the most of any school. In the other matchup, second-ranked Washington will face number 3 Texas in the Sugar Bowl. The Huskies are the first Pac-12 team to earn a playoff spot since they made it back in 2016. The Longhorns, meanwhile, will make their first appearance in the playoff in program history. The winners will meet in the national championship game in Houston on January 8th. A powerhouse on the pitch. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue with its powerful V6 turbo engine. Now, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa!
And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Soccer, Florida State defeated Stanford on Monday in the College Cup to win the national championship. The Seminoles' dominant 5-1 victory sealed an undefeated season and their third title in the last 6 years. Overall, it's the program's fourth College Cup title, but the first for head coach Brian Penske.
This team's mission and determination to win was unlike anything I've ever seen. And so the best coaching job I've ever done was staying the heck out of their way, because they were going to do it.
That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk, driven by longbineauto.com. Blake Cripps and Dylan Sherwood with our studio engineer Dan Courtright, joining us now to talk Emporia High swimming and diving. The boys' season just getting underway is Jamie Dawson, the Emporia High boys' swim and dive team, finishing third at the Campus Invitational on Thursday down in Hayesville. Coach Dawson, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, you look at how you guys did down there, finishing behind Hayesville Campus and Derby. You had a 400-yard freestyle relay that finished third, made a state consideration time. How did that go in terms of season opener for you?
It was unexpected, which is good. You always like when there are good, unexpected things that happen. After we got home from that meet, I went back and checked where we were at last year, and they swam 6 seconds faster this year than they did last year. And last year we had Rudy Bedoya, who was a senior who graduated early, who, you know, was a phenomenal swimmer. So to be able to come and replace him and be 6 seconds faster than where we were last year, like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I would say so. Well, and you guys, you know, you had your 400-yard freestyle relay team that finished third, state consideration time. For the people who maybe are not aware, what does that mean, state consideration time, maybe for grandma, grandpa that don't exactly know? What is that?
Yeah. So in swimming, we do things a lot different. It's not like track or other things where you have a regional where you have to go through to qualify. We just have times. So there are auto-qualified times. As soon as you hit that, you're in. Consideration times are you know, you want to be there, but you don't want to be there, because they go in and they fill heats after the fact. So some years you'll see one extra team get in. Some years you'll see, you know, a bunch of them get in. So it's just, it's kind of that first marker, especially for a team that doesn't have a year-round program that our kids are involved with. You know, that's kind of what we always shoot for first, because we're just getting back in shape and we're getting back in the in kind of the vibe of swimming.
And Coach, in your first meet last week at home, the same guys that are on the 400 free relay almost had a state consideration time in the 200 free. So do you feel like that this has got to give them confidence that they can get that 200 state consideration time and then try to work for the auto time in both those relays?
Yeah, I mean, the auto time is going to be difficult. It's, you know, it's a fast time. We've struggled to get it over the last few years, and we've lucked out that we've gotten it on those consideration times. The four this year that are on that, they're vibing much better this year. And, you know, in order to put a relay in, you have to have four kids that trust each other. And they've matured so much from last year. You know, last year we dealt with a lot of me over we. And I haven't seen that this year. They've all four come together, and I think getting back to finals last year, which they hadn't done. I mean, we hadn't been back in finals for a while. Getting back that second day swim, they want to be back there again this year. And I think they realize that it's going to be a group effort. It's not one of them that's going to lead the pack.
We're talking with Jamie Dawson. She is the swimming coach and the diving coach for the boys at Emporia High. It's interesting you talk about the trust factor, because that's not something I would have thought about. Because in swimming, you know, it's not like this is water polo, and you know, you got to work together. We got to keep the ball out of the goal, and we got to get the ball cycled out on offense. You know, when you're in the pool, that's it. You know, you're on your own. But what is the trust factor that you're talking about that you feel like is leading the team to have more success and can maybe even lead to more success later down the road?
You know, I think one of the first big trust is I think after last year and telling them the things that we need to do, getting them where they're at, I think they trust me a little more. You know, sometimes they don't believe it, and then it happens, and you're like, guys, guess what?
Maybe the coach knows what she's talking about.
I do know this. Don't ask me about anything else. The swimming I can handle a little bit. But the four of them have swam together now for a year. So, you know, it's simple things like relay takeoffs, you know, making sure that they know that they need to swim into the wall a certain way, and they know how they're each going to handle it. They're also really, really good about knowing who needs to pick up where. You know, Logan hasn't been at 100% yet. He's dealing with some shoulder, just tightness and soreness, things like that. And he hasn't swam 100%. But I've seen, you know, in the last meet, Shane Anderson stepped up. Shane Anderson was the fastest on that relay, and he's not been at that spot yet. But there's always one of them, you know, that towards the end of last year and this season too, they know what they need to do, and they'll be the one to take it for the team and get what's done.
You know, Jamie, what do you like most about your young swimmers behind these top four that you have? And you've said in some comments that you've sent to me that your younger swimmers are starting to improve. And I believe you told me a couple weeks ago that I believe you said 12 freshmen.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with 12 freshmen. it's been an interesting dynamic, because, you know, normally when we graduate, last year we graduated three seniors. We're really hoping we get three back, you know, like we want to just replace what we have.
Sure.
So to replace three seniors with 12 freshmen, that's big, you know, for a program like swimming and diving, where there's, you know, it's not something that a lot of kids do year round. It's not one of those that you see all the time on TV. You know, it's something that a lot of them are there as a new sport, or really a lot of our boys are doing it as conditioning, which I'm okay with, because you end up with those kids that come out, I just want to stay in shape, and then they turn out being really good swimmers. So having 12 freshmen come out, and the nice part about it is they're all so different. You know, we've got a group that we're already kind of moving into distance swimming, and we've got a group that we're already, okay, you guys are going to be sprinters. So to be able to foresee what's going to come down the road and what we're going to lose, like, we haven't really had that luxury.
Jamie Dawson is our guest swimming coach and the diving coach for the boys at Emporia High. The Spartans are returning to action. Their last meet before Christmas is coming up on Tuesday as they head to Shawnee Mission West. We better talk a little bit of diving here. Alex Alamang finishing fifth, a score of 141.45. Where would you grade his performance? Obviously, top five performance, not bad, a great place to start. Where do you think that he will end up at the end of the year?
Yeah, unfortunately, when you look at places and scores from campus last week, Alex's placement and score does not reflect how well he dives. He had had a bad last dive that he said he got in the air and was a moment of, oh, what dive am I doing? You know, and that happens sometimes. It's just one of those that you get there and you're in the moment. And so
I think Simone Biles talked about that in the Olympics.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of translation there between doing those aerial gymnastic skills and diving. You know, when you're in the air, it's like, oh, what's going on right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think he was in second before that. And so he, you know, it was a much better meet than it looks like on paper. But, you know, he's doing great. We've added Mark Decker in this year as our second swimmer. And Alex has been great just kind of guiding and helping and getting Mark comfortable to where he's able to start throwing some new things as well. We're getting to the point. I told the boys after the meet on Thursday that we're done with the easy stuff. We've got to start ramping it up. You know, they're both very strong, physically athletic, and we've got to start throwing doubles. We've got to start putting some of those harder dives in. Alex wants to go to state this year, and those are the things that we're going to do. So we're going to start adding some of those in on for the meet on Tuesday and see kind of where that takes us. But we've got a lot of work that we've got to do, and they're there for it. They've put in a lot of time together with me down at the swim side of it. So it's been kind of a balancing act that we're working out, but so far it's working out all right.
A lot of people, as you mentioned, you know, swimming and diving, probably something, you know, for better or for worse, this is something people tune into every 4 years during the Olympics. But one thing that they talk about pretty much every 4 years is, well, you know, this diver has a much bigger margin for error, doesn't have to dive as well because their degree of difficulty is so much more. And then the Olympic scoring system, you know, that's a big component. And you've been talking about adding some difficulty to your dives. How important is that degree of difficulty and how these high schoolers are scored?
You know, well, in order to even qualify for state, there's a set degree of difficulty you have to have. And so getting to that point, you know, they've set it to a spot where you're going to have to be able to pull more difficult dives. It's not something where someone who's just doing, you know, a normal dive like you would do at the aquatic center is going to get into state. And obviously they do that for a reason. So for beginning to add in those more difficult dives, you know, a lot of times it's just kind of building that confidence. And that's kind of what we've been doing for the last couple weeks. Alex has doubles. He's done them last year. And, you know, we've kind of spent me being brand new to dive. Again, that trust thing. He's learning that I don't know a lot about dive, but we'll learn it together. And so there's been kind of that aspect of us getting comfortable with each other in a different setting. You know, last year I was there on the pool deck on the other side, and now it's just a different role. And so I think that's kind of, we've had to build that before we could start to build in some of that confidence in bringing in those dives that he already has. He just needs to know that I'm okay too.
Sure. And coach, how big is after Tuesday's meet? You know, I have a lot of time to get ready for another meet, which won't be until the 4th of January back, you know, in the pool at Emporia High. You know, how big is it to, you know, get to work on some things and then you can shuffle things around and hopefully find something else that'll work?
Yeah, the boys don't love when we go after Christmas break or before Christmas break, because they know it's a week and a half of really tough practices just because we have time to recover. We actually, you know, when COVID happened and then our new pool was being built, mm-hmm. We actually had a couple of years where we had to take that full winter break off. And when we had to do that, they came back in that January meet and they swam better. So if it's not broken, we ain't fixing it. So we'll just go up to break, and then we give them a couple extra days off. You know, the state lets you go back, but we have found that just letting our boys kind of rest and recover, a lot of it because they're not used to, I mean, for a lot of them, this is a 3-month sport, and so their bodies need a little bit of extra recovery time. So we'll come back on the second and then get into that meet on the fourth, and, you know, hopefully it holds true. Or else we're going back to break practices.
Okay. So, boys, you heard it here. You don't want those hard two-a-day practices coming back. You better swim and dive good on the fourth there, coming back in January. Emporia High's swimming coach, diving coach for the Spartans, Jamie Dawson. Once again, they're headed to Shawnee Mission West. Their final meet before Christmas is on Tuesday. What time do you guys hit the pool?
3:30. They'll start with diving, and then swimming will be right after that.
So 3:30 for the diving, swimming just after that, Shawnee Mission West, and it's that on campus there?
So it's actually at the Shawnee Mission Aquatic Center. Their school district has one, so it's a state pool, so we like to get in there. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So Shawnee Mission Aquatic Center. So look, I'm assuming that'll you can find that on Google Maps if you're looking for that.
It is.
Well, it feels like Tuesday is a good trip for everybody. Boys swim and dive, or up in Shawnee Mission, and the basketball teams are at Shawnee Mission North.
These share buses, I guess. We'll see. Or maybe, you know, if you got one gets done, you can swing by the basketball game, or they can swing by the pool if one gets done earlier.
Yeah.
So, Coach, thank you for the time. Best of luck to you on Tuesday. Have a great rest of your season.
Thanks.
Jamie Dawson, the swimming coach and the diving coach for the Spartans at Emporia High. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with Michael Massey. We'll be talking a state championship for Linden football, the first in program history, and a perfect season. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbineauto.com on KVOE, live and local.
The holiday red tag savings event continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the savings are great. Come in, get over $9,000 in total red tag savings on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck, or a new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS front wheel drive with over $1,800 in red tag savings, or save thousands in interest with 1.9% APR with approved credit on select models. Come in and see the all new electric Chevy EV models. We've got 3 in stock, and take a test drive for yourself. Don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-ins too. So for holiday red tag savings on new Chevy models, come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia today. Or you can visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street, or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Take the stress out of getting a mortgage. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union guides you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan and completing the application, ultimately getting you into your home on time and stress-free. When it's time to choose a lender, go with Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com to connect today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by longbineauto.com. We are just a few moments away from Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, joining us here in about 10 minutes. But first up, it is Michael Massey, the head football coach for Linden. Linden went 13-0, the first ever program state football championship this year. We may sneak in a basketball question, because he is the basketball coach. But the Linden Tigers are state champions in football in 8-man Division I. Michael Massey. Coach, appreciate it, and congratulations on the state title.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, Fisher Field in Newton was the site. You beat Wichita County 34-6, the defending state champions. You really jumped on these guys early. You led 18-0 right off the jump. You never trailed in the game. How important and how much did you guys emphasize getting a good start in this game?
Well, it was important for us, not having the experience of being there before. So it's important for us to get a good start, and our defense is really, really good and really sound. And, you know, I was happy with how we got started. And obviously when you're out 18-0 in those snowy conditions, it's hard for them to come back.
Man, I had totally forgotten that it was that day. That was the day that Don and I were driving up to Wayne State for that game and driving back. And I remember because we were keeping track of NCAA football playoff games, and then White Auditorium was hosting football, and we saw the pictures of all the snow. Have you ever coached in a game like that? And did it change the way that you were that you needed to coach that game?
I've never been involved in a game like that with that much snow on the ground, first of all. And then, it changed us offensively for sure. We weren't able to spread it out and throw it quite as much as we had planned. But, you know, we were physical up front and our line dominated, and we were able to still score enough points to win.
Coach, your senior class was pretty special. You know, guys like Kaysen Wirt. Tanner Heckle, who transferred in from Inman, you know, Caden Massey and Jalen Massey. But, you know, what'd you like about the seniors this year? You know, they had an ultimate goal and they were able to accomplish it.
You know, this group has been special since they're in third and fourth grade. You know, obviously having Tanner transfer in is a huge lift to us, but, you know, all those kids have played together forever, and they're so unselfish. That's probably the most special thing is, you know, they don't care who gets the accolades. They just want to win.
Linden football coach Michael Massey joining us. They won the 8-man Division I championship in football, going 13-0. And we got to have another question on Tanner Heckle because, I mean, the guy ran for 254 yards, 4 touchdowns in the state championship game. I mean, I know you just had him for 1 year, coach, but, I mean, can you describe the way that he was able to change your offense?
No, not really. I can't.
Can you try?
He's a special kid. He's a special kid, obviously a phenomenal athlete. He's a great, great leader and individual, and that's what people don't see probably as much as his athleticism. You know, he picks up things very quickly, right from the start. The kids and him all got along really well, like they've known each other forever. And it was a special season and a special kid, and it's really exciting for our community.
You know, what does it mean that you guys were towards the top of the rankings all season long? And I know the closest game you guys had was the game with Chase County at Chase County, where you guys ended up winning by 4. Do you feel like the schedule tested you guys when it came to postseason time?
Absolutely. We played in the toughest district in the state, and we really, for the most part, dominated that as well. You know, but it made us ready for playoffs for sure, and I thought once playoffs hit, we turned it up another level even.
And you certainly did, and you finished with a 13-0 record. And, you know, sometimes that zero becomes a bit of a weight, and, you know, you're trying to go undefeated, and that starts to get in your kids' heads. I mean, obviously it didn't against Wichita County. When you jump out to an 18-0 lead, there are some teams that are just ready to handle that. Did you ever feel like that pressure was weighing on your guys? And if you didn't, how do you feel like – what were the tools that you guys used mentally to kind of deal with that and be able to ignore that pressure?
You know, I thought the state championship was more of the goal than the 13-0. Obviously, they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, you can drop one earlier in the season and it not affect you when it comes to playoff time. But, you know, the kids just prepared every week, you know, and that took the pressure off. When you're well prepared, you know, they don't feel that pressure. And you know, they watch a lot of film. They work hard in practice and work hard in the weight room. So they were ready to go.
Michael Massey, our guest, he is the head football coach for Linden. I know it's a little bit early. I want you to enjoy this. And you know, we'll ask you a question. What was the feeling like, you know, on that snowy field down there in Newton when the clock hit zero and you guys became the first-time state football champions for your program?
Well, it's really hard to explain. I mean, it's just a great feeling, you know, when the kids accomplish something, set their mind to something and accomplish it. And it's just so special that it's hard to put into words. You know, it's exciting for the community. You know, everybody really supported us all year and really always does. You know, it's just special.
And Coach, can't get away since we have you. You guys are already off to a solid start on the hardwood with a 3-0 record last night, defeating Burlingame 51-35. And I know you had maybe about three or four how many practices did you have of basketball before that first game last Friday against Meredithine Valley?
We practiced three times.
So you practiced three times, and you're 3-0. So how are the guys that are adjusting from the gridiron onto the hardwood?
Let's say it's been a little rough so far. obviously, we're 3-0, which is good. We've been able to get the job done, but they definitely haven't switched gears yet, and it's hard to go from such a high to then now switching gears to something different, and it's going to take us a little bit, but I'm proud that they're 3-0 and they're working hard and that sort of stuff, but we're not in basketball shape. We don't have basketball touch on the ball yet. It's just it's one of those things. Hopefully Christmas break gets here quickly.
I mean, I'm sure that it's a problem that you're willing to continue trying to figure out as the basketball coach, though.
Absolutely. You learn how to win. You learn how to win in one sport, you can win in another.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see. I'm sure that he'll get them into basketball shape here before too long. As you look ahead to next year's team, and obviously what you did this year is not going to get you any wins, not going to make any stops or produce any turnovers or score you any points next year, but you're looking ahead to next year for this football team, in terms of what you don't have coming back, what you do have coming back, what do you think the expectations are going to be for next year?
Well, we want to go out and compete for championships just like we did this year. Now, obviously, the talent level is going to be a little bit different, but this group practiced against a state champion for 15 weeks this season. So if that doesn't prepare you to be better next year, I don't know what will. The excitement's already there. Our quarterback, probably a kid will be our quarterback next year, is already out throwing the ball on the football field. I drove by yesterday, and he doesn't play basketball, so he's already out, got the receivers out and throwing on the field.
Wow.
It's exciting stuff, and, everybody's excited, so hopefully it gets, more participation and more kids excited in it.
Well, and you know what? We talked a lot about offensively what you guys were able to do, but we didn't mention, and this is how it always is in media, is that, you never talk about the defense, but, the defense was obviously a big part of your success and a huge reason of why you won the state championship game. They only had 6 points. What allowed you guys to have the success defensively that you did this year?
First of all, Coach Baker does a great job on our defense, and they were so well prepared. We have great players at all three levels, and they were ready to be physical and attack them, and it's been a special year, and it's really hard to put into words.
Michael Massey, our guest, the Linden Tigers state football champions. I guess we'll get you out of here on this as you look ahead here to your basketball season, and you're off to a 3-0 start. Obviously wanting to work out some kinks and get more into, more plays and having more systems in here for your basketball team. What's the expectation that you have for your Tigers on the hardwood this year?
Same thing. We're going to try to go compete for championships, whether that means league, sub-state, and state. We've got the ability. We've got plenty of talent. We just got to make sure we play together and continue to get in shape and things like that. So,
Michael Massey, the head football coach at Linden, 13-0, the Tigers state champions in football. For the first time in school history, they won the 8-man Division I championship over Wichita County 34-6. Coach, congratulations. Best of luck to you in basketball.
Thank you for the coverage. Appreciate it.
Michael Massey, a Linden football coach, joining us here. Now, like I said, every area coach that wins a state championship, you're going to be invited onto this program. So really excited to have him on. Time now to move on to our Chiefs coverage. Of course, Country 101.7 is your home for Chiefs football all year long. And, of course, Mitch Holtis is joining us now. And he's brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS number 424226. Mitch and the coach, by the way, should have mentioned that, appears on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line. And if you were listening last Sunday, obviously, you did not hear Mitch on for the first time in 3 decades out and tweeted it out just before the game that he was not going to be able to make the call. Mitch, First of all, how are you feeling?
Well, first of all, let's go back. I wish I could have given a shout out to the Linden coach. What a great job. I would kid him, though, and I know he's heard about it already, about the NIL deal he gave to Tanner Hackle.
That's right.
What a great athlete. He actually single-handedly beat Smith Center in the 2022 season in the semifinals or quarterfinals in 1A when he was the quarterback at Inman. But just to see what Linden did was awesome. Congratulations to Coach. How am I feeling? One bazillion times better. Still, you know, there's a little of a bronchial stuff going on, but it's not bad. And I'm negative. No symptoms other than just trying to get rid of some gunk that's in there. But that's too much information. But, yeah, no, we're rocking and ready to go. I actually knew a week ago. Let me just walk you through that.
Yeah, please.
So I got hit like an AGAP blitz on Friday morning. I remember when Brent Jacobs knocked me out in high school football. That coach is gone. But then we spent 12 hours after I tested positive. The protocol is this five-day quarantine, and I was not going to get on a plane with our guys and our coaches and our other personnel, including Dan Israel, who's fighting cancer.
Yes.
He's my seatmate, right? So I'm not going to do that. Anyway, we were trying to figure out, I get a fiber feed, a dirty feed, like they call it. So it'd be a real time. I could do it from, I was going to have a little truck outside of Channel 41 that was going to be my little broadcast studio. And then that didn't work out. So after 12 hours of trying to figure out to do the game, it was like no moss. Well, that was Friday night. I knew it when I talked to you guys. I never said I was going to do the game. Blake, you said at the end, hey, good, have a good call. And I didn't say anything. but I knew I was surrendering fully. But yeah, we're back in the game, and thanks to Paxlovid, and we're ready to go.
Awesome.
Good deal.
When you're in that situation, because you know you're in this because you don't get to the level of the NFL without loving what you do, because it takes a grind to get up there. Was it hard to watch knowing that you know you're not doing what you want to do? But I know you still watch the game. Was that a hard thing to do?
Extremely hard. And it's not just the fact that I do the games, right? You guys follow the Chiefs, so every day I'm doing multiple things, not only shows like this, but 65 TPT, and we're cranking up things on social media, Kingdom Conversations, the Defending the Kingdom podcast, shows that I do up here for Odyssey, but also for the Chiefs. So it's 7 days a week, basically, during the year. Yeah, you grind and you grind. It was, and then to have it be the end of 30 years, that was a little tough to deal with it. And 43 seasons when you take into account the work that I did prior to the Chiefs, I never missed. But honestly, the blessing here and where God works in this way is it's like a Wonderful Life movie. I was George Bailey. God just like lifted me out of my life and looked at my life, and I have a whole new appreciation for everyone around me and everything that I have to do. But to realize the blessing that it is. So it wasn't easy. I won't mind telling you that. But I also saw the benefit of it is to back up, get lifted out, and God has his way of getting his point across.
Well, Mitch, sounds like things could be very interesting tomorrow with no Isaiah Pacheco, no Donovan Smith, no Drew Tranquil, no... no Brian Cook.
Keep it going.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I listened to Coach Reed yesterday, and I'm wondering how this one's going to be, especially with the AFC implications on the line, especially with the Chiefs not in the driver's seat in the AFC. But now this becomes the Clyde Edwards-Helaire game.
It does. You'll also, now it's good to have Jerick McKinnon back this week.
Oh, that's good too.
And the Jet will be back in the fold some, but I mean, he's got a groin injury. It's not like he's 100%. And then you've got Denarik Prince, who we talked about in our training camp reports and actually had flashed in the offseason in OTAs coming out of nowhere, undrafted out of Tulsa. And he's going to be a part of the mix in as well. I'm really excited about Wanya Morris at left offensive tackle. Donovan Smith. That's what I'm excited about. and safety not having Cookie is an issue. We got Mike Edwards. He's a veteran, but now you're down to, if they go down, you're down to, we'll probably elevate Deion Bush today off the practice squad. You got Shamari Connor, the rookie. And then we get Bolt back. So two of the four, I'm actually kind of excited, excuse me, with the replacement, with getting Bolt back and also Wanye Morris.
Mitch Holt is joining us here on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio Line. Once again, it's the Chiefs and the Bills coming up on Sunday, Country 101.7, and all that extra content that Mitch talked about, by the way. One of those things is the Minute with Mitch, which you can hear in the noon hour on Wednesdays here on Country 101.7 as well. One thing that was asked a lot about this week in terms of the in the frame of the reference of the Packers game was the fact that the Chiefs, they scored consistently, but they didn't get touchdowns. They had to settle for field goals. The Packers got touchdowns, and that was really the reason that they won the game. And a lot of people were asking, what does this team need to do to score more touchdowns? As you watched that game and as you've had the conversations, what's been that discussion like this week about why the team maybe didn't quite find, as you like to call it, the nectar as often as they would have liked to last week?
Well, it's, I talk about It's a Wonderful Life movie. It's really that, you know, knockoff of the Scrooge story. Well, it seemed like Green Bay, this was a knockoff of the Denver script, because Blake, it was truthfully the same game. The game we lost in Denver, and that Denver controlled the game. They had the ball all the day, reduced the number of possessions. There were only seven possessions in this game both ways. Only one possession each in the first quarter. Very strange. But Green Bay was able to complete it with touchdowns, and the Chiefs had the field goals, as you alluded to. And it was back to what we talked about on this show 3 weeks ago, I believe, in the critical error at the critical time, meaning something, when you have a low possession game, you don't have the most explosive offensive team you've ever had. The margin for error is very slight. And the hold by Creed Humphrey threw one off the tracks.
Yeah.
They're going in to score. They're down at the two-yard line. That's going to be a touchdown. One hold, field goal. And the drop passes weren't there this time, but the penalties were. But any of that throws the train off the track. And so you've got to play, the way the Chiefs are playing now, you've got to play very pristine football, especially when you get in the red zone, and double especially when you're playing these low-possession games.
You look at where this Buffalo team is, and a lot of people thought that they were going to be the class of the AFC East, and a lot of people thought that, you know, the Chiefs, I think, are still pretty solidly. They're maybe not as dominant as people thought that they were, but they've got a decent lead in the AFC West. They're two games clear of the Broncos. The Ravens are still around. So the conversation in terms of the elite has changed a little bit, but the Bills aren't too far away. They're right in the middle of that very muddy AFC wildcard picture, but the Bills at 6-6 on the year. As you've looked at them, what do you feel like the team, if anything, is maybe missing from what would have made it and what has made it an AFC title contender the last few years?
Well, let me circle back to Blake's point about the enormity of this game and what it means, because if the Chiefs can win this game somehow, some way, and it's one of those games, like find a way.
Yeah.
Like the podcast I did, you got to somehow find a way with Clyde and Wanye and not your normal cast of characters, then you're really not in the driver's seat, but you've got a real good shot at getting that one seed back. Just saying. All right, now you asked me about Buffalo. Let's go. One of the strangest teams I've seen in a while. Let me give you a couple of nuggets. You guys love nuggets. Here's
a couple that
will answer your question, Blake. And since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970, that's usually the benchmark where everything, I mean, they started keeping stats then. I didn't do much before that. There have been 40 teams in NFL history and that since the merger that have played a game where they had 500 offensive yards, 10 third down conversions, won the giveaway takeaway margin, 40 teams. The record of those 40 teams in those games is 39-1. The only team to lose were the 2023 Buffalo Bills to Philadelphia.
Huh.
Here's another one. This is where my answer is with these guys. The Bills are plus 101 in point differential, which is usually, I don't care if it's the Hornets or the Spartans or the Linden Tigers. Point differential is usually a pretty good indication of this team for real or not? Not always, but usually. Buffalo is +101. No team since the AFL-NFL merger that has been +101 in point differential after the first 12 weeks of the season has had 6 losses. And only one team that has had a +101 point margin since in week 12 has never made the playoffs. And that was the 2005 Chargers.
Huh.
This is a weird Buffalo team. Incredibly powerful, but also seemingly incredibly careless. They have 6 turnovers on the first play of 6 different offensive series. Josh Allen has thrown 13 interceptions, 7 of those when he's had the lead. It's just a careless group. It's a talented, careless group. And I love Josh Allen. I love his story. I wasn't super fond of Phillip Rivers, but they wear the same number, 17. But Josh Allen is playing like Phillip Rivers this year in being the human ATM machine. And in 3 seasons now, in 3 seasons, Josh Allen has 53 giveaways. He's thrown 42 picks and lost 11 fumbles in 3 seasons.
Wow.
It's hard to win in that way, boys.
Yes.
Well, Mitch, Chris Jones said it earlier in the week that got to watch more film and be prepared and clean up all the other things. What's big for the defense and the offense to get a big win? And I know being back at Arrowhead has to feel really good after the last time at Arrowhead didn't go well because the Eagles came in and took away that victory. But what's big tomorrow?
Yeah, and if MVS catches the pass, we win. I mean, anyway. And this has been a strange home schedule, right? 2 Thursday nights, a Monday night. This will be our 3rd Sunday game. So it's just been weird. It's going to feel good to play on a Sunday afternoon, to be honest with you. But here's another part of this game that I don't want it to sound like an excuse, but if we're talking analytics, this is very real here. Guess who Buffalo played last week, Dylan?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, it was 2 weeks ago. They've had a bye.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
The Chiefs, well, here's why. The Chiefs are the first team in 35 seasons where the opponent will have 19 extra days to prepare for them after their bye week.
Wow.
Think about this. The Packers had 10 days, and Spags even mentioned they put stuff in we hadn't seen. Buffalo has 2 weeks. This goes to Dylan's point. This goes to Blake's point, where this is a desperate team to win and a talented team to win. Mm-hmm. And they've had 2 weeks to prepare. Chiefs have had a short week. Yeah. Put that in your log on your fire of, hey, you've got to find a way to win this game.
Wow.
Next week, the Patriots played Thursday. They'll have 10 days.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a quirk in the schedule. It's not easy. Yeah. The Chiefs are facing a very, very difficult task here, and they just have to find a way.
Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask about Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage, Andes, in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union. NMLS number 424226. Once again, it's a 3:25 kickoff. 2:00 for the coverage with Mitch this week on Country 101.7. You can listen online to pregame coverage starting at 2:00 at KVOE.com/listen, just for pregame and postgame, though, because we have to black it out during the game. But we'll have it on there for you for pregame. Mitch, great to have you back. Great to hear you again. Glad that you're feeling better. And I do hope that you have a good call on Sunday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Now I can say, hey, thanks, Blake. Hey, did you take your – we were talking when you were going to the bowl game. Did you enjoy the beach, take your Speedos?
We did not.
Bowl game, man.
We did not make a detour to the beach. Not quite we weren't quite down there. I ran out of my concierge money. You know, they just didn't have enough to get me there.
There you go. Well, Corsicana is not exactly like beachfront property.
No.
So. But anyway –
not exactly.
Great job and a great win and over Southern Naz, right? So good
yes.
job.
Yeah, it was a good win, a great way to send out the sheriff, Brayton Gleason, so that's for sure. Mitch, have a great rest of your Saturday.
See you, boys.
Thank you. Mitch Holtis, the incomparable voice of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah,
we weren't that close to the – not that close to the ocean. It would have been fun, though.
You were about 45 minutes south of Dallas.
Yeah, something like – yeah.
I've been –
That depends on the traffic that you're driving through when you're going through Corsicana.
Dylan. Well, yeah, when you get directly south of Dallas,
sure.
Once you get out of downtown.
If we could have eliminated all the other vehicles, then yeah, we're probably about 45 minutes. Unfortunately, that was not the case.
So
our incomparable driver, my butler on the side, he just adds another title, Don Wiest. You know, he made one wrong turn. But as Mitch said, as he tells us, we took the back roads through Dallas to get down there. And you know what? You win by, 30 or whatever it was in the Heritage Bowl. Feeling pretty good about things.
Yeah.
And they came out. They were introduced in head of the White Auditorium crowd this week. And the ton of football players there. It was great to see them. And I got this from Taken, actually. So I was wondering, like, man, where's the – David Spafford was there. And it's like, well, I don't know if they brought the trophy. It's so heavy. And apparently Coach Higgins told Tegan, who's doing the PA, obviously, said, man, we forgot the trophy. It's like, oh, no, you forgot the trophy. You can't do that. You got to have the trophy.
Show it off.
Absolutely. I still don't know where they're going to put that because it's just a star. Apparently David Spafford said – he said it's pretty heavy. It's a big old thing. Like, it's probably – it's probably like a – like a foot and a half? Dan, you could turn your mic on.
Dan can turn his mic on.
My color guy. It's like, how big is it, Dan?
I mean, it's probably about a yard. It's probably a yard both ways. It's pretty. It's huge.
It's pretty big. I mean, it's like you're.
Hated it at first, but I'm coming around to it. I think it's pretty cool. But
I think it's a good trophy. I like it. It's different.
Yeah. You know how much it weighed?
No. Spafford may have told me, like, maybe over, like, 25 pounds. Which it doesn't sound like that much, but I mean, that's a hefty trophy.
Yeah,
lugging that thing around on a basketball court, I can't imagine. I don't know where they.
I mean, I will say, boy, you don't want to drop that thing on the basketball
court.
That floor is like brand new there at White. They just redid it.
It's a beautiful court.
It is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
I'm with you. I have no idea where they're going to put it. I mean, I've been in the locker room. There's no room in that trophy case for that gigantic star. They're going to have to like hang it on the wall or something.
Coach Shannon will find a way.
True.
I have full faith and confidence that Coach Shannon will find a perfect spot for that trophy, and it will be displayed somewhere there. I don't know. Is there a place under like the sledgehammer?
Yeah, maybe. They could put it under the TVs, maybe. That's where the old Corsicana trophy from 2018 was. So maybe they'll put it there. But so big and obnoxious. Not obnoxious, but it's just – absurdly big. I have no
Everything's
idea.
Everything's bigger in Texas, Dan.
That's right.
Including Buc-ee's.
Yeah, Coach Shannon will figure it out. I have full faith and confidence.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up here and give you the schedule. There's a lot to go over today. We'll have NFL Insider for you here on KVOE coming up at noon today. All the preview that you need for NFL football immediately following that. 1 o'clock, pregame coverage.
Yes.
Dylan Sherwood, Paul Terry Classic, so just after NFL football, Emporia High will be on for the Paul Terry Classic. The girls taking on Spring Hill. The boys looking for a championship against Wichita Trinity. So we will have – you got pregame at 12:40.
Yes, yes. Tip times, approximate start times. I hope, like Coach Dawson said.
We better cut out – we'll get rid of NFL Insider for you then because that's not – the way that works.
Well, remember, I'm on the mix today.
Oh, yeah. You're on the mix. Never mind. Totally forgot. Yeah. I hadn't gotten that far yet. So, yeah, we will have NFL Insider at noon. Who knew? How am I supposed to keep track of all this stuff we have?
I don't know. I don't know how I keep track of everything, too, and putting together our schedule, too. So.
I agree. So, NFL Insider, we'll get you ready for the NFL Weekend of Games at noon on KVOE. 11:30, so about 2.5 hours away. That's pregame for Kansas State men's basketball at Louisiana State. It's a 12:30 tip-off on Country 101.7. 12:40 for the pregame show, 1 o'clock tip-off for the Emporia High boys and girls, ladies first, at the Paul Terry Classic. Girls taking on Spring Hill, boys taking on Wichita Trinity. 2:30 pregame coverage for Kansas men's basketball in the Border War against Missouri today. 4:15 for tip-off on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. And then late night at White, part two, as Emporia State will be hosting Northeastern State. Now, our pregame is set for 5:30 currently. Now, the high school games run long, then we'll be late. Our Lee, who does the he does the facilities for Emporia High Athletics, he was in there talking to me and Coach Osterman yesterday, and there will be 30 minutes in between, even if the games are late. They're going to give the Lady Hornets will have 30 minutes to warm up. So, and Lee's been doing – he's new, apparently. He's been phenomenal over there at Emporia State. He's doing such a great job to keep everything on track with them in terms of the facilities. So, if I'm on late, I'm on late. That's just the way it's going to be.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Because I will give them a heads up.
Yeah, you can – yeah, absolutely.
I will definitely give them a heads up when you will be ready.
Yeah. I'm probably showing up at 4:30 anyway, just in case.
Oh.
I
told you the seat will be warm.
We appreciate it. On Sunday, tomorrow, we'll have the Chiefs and the Bills for you, 3:25 for the kickoff, 2 o'clock for the pregame coverage on Country 101.7. And then, of course, we will join the pregame coverage in progress for Sunday Night Football, Eagles and the Cowboys for Sunday Night Football, right back in your home for the NFL, KVOE. So that is how it all shakes up for this weekend. Thank you to Mitch, as always. Thank you to Michael Massey, the head coach for Linden, such an amazing job for them to get a state championship in football. Hope we could do more of that. Coaches and also Emporia High coaches.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the Spartans win a state championship, we're going to have them on. But area coaches, you win a state championship, you're getting invited on the show. And thank you to Jamie Dawson, the boys swimming and diving coach for Emporia High. Coach Dorsey and Coach Baldwin, back on the show next week on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. So you'll hear from them next week with Mitch, with Tim and Dylan. I'll be off next week heading up to scenic Maryville, Missouri for Northwest Missouri and the Hornets on Saturday. So Coach Dorsey and Coach Baldwin will be on with us next week here on Saturday Morning Sports
Talk. And I will be going to get pregame with both of them here immediately. So,
following our show. Well, we'll let you go and do that. Dan Courtright, of course, turning the buttons there in the penalty box. Appreciate him being our studio engineer. So for Dylan Sherwood and for the absent Tim Miller, Blake Cripps saying good Saturday morning to you. Have a great rest of your day. This is KVOE Emporia, live and local. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia, AM 1400 KVOE Emporia.